Thank you, John. May we pray together. Oh Lord, I pray that you'll use the words of my mouth and the binding together of our hearts and your Holy Spirit to open us to your word this day, that it might help us to understand your will for our lives this and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Christmas is finally over. It ended on January the 6th with Epiphany. And every year around the 6th of January, the church has celebrated something called the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord. Usually we do a service to remember it, and it focuses upon the event of Jesus' baptism, and it also draws us into remembering that event and how it applies to us. That's what we're going to be doing in just a few minutes today, a remembrance. The story of the baptism occurs in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They tell basically the same story. The text for this morning that John read us is from the Gospel of Matthew. And as we read this text, it becomes apparent that there are two basic levels as we read it. First is the how of the story. The second is the why of the story. A professor of mine in college used to say that the how of something in Scripture is very interesting, but the why is what's important. So let's do the how and then we'll do the why. First, the how. What happened that day in the River Jordan? Well, John, who was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, had been called by God to be a prophet to the children of Israel. He came preaching repentance to the children and urged them to draw back to God because God's kingdom was coming. Now, some of the Jews in the crowd he was preaching to were good and faithful people. They were people who were obedient to God. They observed the requirements of the law. Love God with all you have and love your neighbor as yourself. But there were others in the crowd that came out to see Jesus who were self-righteous hypocrites, who manipulated the law to serve their purposes and who had no care for others. These were the Pharisees. They required strict adherence to the law of Moses. And John cried out to them in Matthew 3, 7 through 8, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance," he challenged them. And as a sign of that repentance, John did something. He went and stood in the middle of the River Jordan, and he offered baptism to those who were there, baptism for cleansing. In the Hebrew Scriptures, there are a number of different rituals for people who were unclean in order for them to become pure and be able to engage in worship. There was washing before going into the temple. There was washing after touching a dead body. This is the problem that the chief priest or the priest and the scribe had with the man on the road from Jericho. They weren't sure if he was alive or not, and they knew that if they touched him, they would have to go through the ritual again. There was washing by women following their menstrual period. All of these things required ritual bath. And there was also washing for Gentile converts to Judaism. But it's obvious from this text that what John was doing was concerned with purity, not conversion. He's talking to Jews who are part of the covenant with God, but had failed to be obedient. He declared to them that they needed to do this to prepare for the imminent coming of God's Messiah. All of their strict legalism, all their false piety did not reflect what God was calling the people to do, and John was drawing them back to that. So when Jesus comes to John in the Jordan, he's coming to take part in the ritual cleansing. There's the how. That's what's about to take place in our story. But what about the why? John is uncomfortable the moment Jesus shows up. John is uncomfortable with what was about to happen, and he expressed what most of us would be thinking at the time and may even be thinking today when we think about the baptism of Jesus. He said, "Why, Lord? Why do you come to me for baptism? I should be baptized by you." You see, John recognized who Jesus was. He recognized Jesus' purpose. And John concluded that he was not qualified to baptize him. We're told in the scripture in Hebrews that Jesus was without sin, and this is something that's crucial in our witness of who he is. So why is this baptism for the remission of sins, why is that important? It's so important that it was repeated in all three of the first three Gospels. Well, it was important because it represents the unity of Jesus' divinity as God's Son and Jesus' humanity as the Messiah of the world. You see, it's not an either-or thing. It's a both-and thing. That this is who Jesus was. And by Jesus coming and being involved in this action that all others were being invited to do, he reflected that. It is an example for all people because all are in need of washing and purification. Jesus did it to show us how it was done, if you will. Not one of us in this room can stand before God and declare, "I am righteous and have nothing to repent of." While Jesus, the divine and human Son and Messiah, had no need of ritual cleansing himself, we most certainly do. By kneeling before John and by being baptized in the River Jordan, Jesus is exemplifying the act that can draw us back to God: repentance and baptism. Dr. Eric Barreto writes that this is to fulfill all righteousness likely means to acting in obedience to God in a way that coordinates eternal disposition and external action. I like that phrase. Internal dispositions and external actions. Jesus' first step in public ministry are a combination of a compliant spirit and a powerful public display of his obedience to God's call. So it also represents an anointing of Jesus in front of the people as Messiah. It is his anointing. It's Jesus' anointing. It's his being marked and being lifted up. It's the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. In fact, the Gospel of Mark starts with this story. He doesn't have a birth story. He doesn't have all the stuff that Mark and Matthew and Luke have. He starts with the baptism. It says in Mark 1:9, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." Short and sweet and basic. But that was what John saw, what Mark saw as the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So it represents Jesus' willingness to take upon himself that burden which we bear and to do away with it. Dr. Richard writes that the Billy Graham Association summarizes the central Christian consensus by saying, "Jesus, who was the sinless Son of God, took upon himself our sins and the sins of the whole human race. He just didn't have to die, so he didn't have to be baptized, but he came as a bearer of all our sins." In this belief, the innocent Jesus carried the burden of humanity's sin, at first symbolically in the baptism, and then quite literally in his death upon a cross. And finally, there is the powerful affirmation and anointing of Jesus by the descent of the Holy Spirit, and God's declaration of who he was. He was God's beloved. He was the one that God has sent to do this job. Everything else in the gospel story, every teaching, every miracle, every controversy, even every rejoicing, finds its basis in the moment of baptism, as God said, "This is my beloved." I was reading, and I don't remember the source this week, I was reading about different traditions in different parts of our country at different times. And one that I read about, I already knew something about it, was in the Old West. Before they had ranches that were cordoned off by barbed wire, you had free-range animals. And some of you may have been out in the West when you encountered some of the free-range animals around Yellowstone. The cattle would just have their calves and they'd wander around, and when it came time for Roundup, you went out and got your cows. But the calves hadn't been branded yet. And they were called Mavericks. And the rule was, if you can get a Maverick and put your brand on it, it's yours. And so that was a big deal. Well, the story I read was that there was a little girl who experienced baptism in a local church in the turn of the century in the West. When she went to school the next day, all of her schoolmates wanted to know what had happened to her. Her response was absolutely perfect and in context. She said, "I was a little maverick out on the prairie, and the man put Jesus' mark on my forehead so that when he sees me, he will know that I am one of his children." This morning we're going to be given a chance to remember we were baptized. Some of you remember the event of your baptism, for you were baptized as an older child or as an adult. Others of us cannot remember it at all. But all of us who have been baptized can acknowledge that we were baptized. We can share that news. We can acknowledge that that happened and use this remembering time today as an act of recommitment to what baptism means. This is a chance to remember that Jesus loves us enough to mark us as his very own. Now, there may be some of you today who have never been baptized. And if you desire to be baptized, you can talk to Dorothy Ann or me. We'll be on either end of the altar rail, and we'll be happy to talk with you and find a time where we can talk further and do that so that you can be drawn into the fellowship of faith through baptism. This, brothers and sisters, is an opportunity for us all to declare that we choose to follow Jesus, for us all to declare and seek to be cleansed by him so we might fulfill all righteousness as is proper. Let us pray. Oh God, you have brought to us this moment in which we draw near to you, and in which we remember that which you've done for us through Jesus the Christ. Dear God, empower us through this remembering. May we offer our hearts again. May we feel your love and mercy. And may we recommit ourselves to following you this day and forever. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.